First time I ever did an impression of anybody, it was of my older brother, John. And he had girlfriends growing up, but I didn't. And they would call the house, and I'd answer in his voice. Hi, this is John. You know, and they would talk to me for like 15 minutes, and my brother would walk in, he's like, who's on the phone? And I'm like, your girlfriend. You know, that's when I knew he could run faster than me. That's when I could not escape. I need to get a drink of water after all that. Hold on. Just a sip, though. I just want a little sip here. There you go. Just a sip, okay. Now, as I was saying, now that I'm refreshed, have you ever seen anybody do that before? Is that, I'm not as fast as some of the people on the internet. Some people can go, and you're like, whoa! I think he just mushed it out behind him, you know? But I learned to do that when I was playing Shrek and Shrek the Musical, because I had to get refreshed, and I was sweating bad, and I was always on the stage, except I would walk off stage and then come right back for the next scene. So I'd walk off and go, and then walk right back out. And I remember the first stagehand to see me do that, she's like, what just happened? And I think he's an alien, you know? But I love doing impressions, and I ended up, you know, like, I love hearing different people's accents when they speak our language, and I love that they're trying, and I try to speak other people's language. I love speaking, you know, I go to the Dominican Republic, I've been 18 times, and a couple years ago, I got to preach completely in Spanish for the first time, and I was reading it all, and I knew what I said because I wrote it, but there were a few times I was like, I know how to pronounce this word, but I don't know what it is, you know. But everybody there was really grateful because I tried, you know. And when I do impressions, sometimes, you know, I don't hear voices, I do voices, you know. But I'll hear somebody's voice and I'm automatically know that I can do that voice. It does, like when Charles Barkley, when I first heard him talk, I was like, oh man, that's terrible, 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 terrible. You know, it's like, as soon as I heard him, I knew I could do that voice, you know. And it's just kind of fun. When I heard Sean Connery, I just knew it was like, some things don't react well to bullets. You know, I just don't know why I could do it. I just could. Or Chris Farley, you gotta live in, you know, I mean, I just could go there. And I love that. Or like when I started watching SpongeBob with my daughter when she was little, she just looked up to me and, Daddy, do the voice. It's like, hi, Patrick. You know, it's like, hi, SpongeBob. You know, it's like, I was there. Oh. You know, we just did them all. And it was kind of fun. And so every cartoon that she would watch, she would go, Daddy, do that voice. And I would just do the voice. Whatever I heard I could do, I'd forget it how to do it later. Unlike some really talented impressionists, they know what to do later. I'm always like, I don't even remember the name of that cartoon. You know, and I'm like, but I'd be watching it with her and I'd do these impressions. And then sometimes in your life, you try to fit in with someone else, don't you? And you just kind of do their impression and you start doing things that they do. I'm going to show you a passage of scripture real quick. It comes from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And what I want to share with you is actually, there we go, that's the Galatians. I was like, why isn't it there on the page? In chapter 1, at the end of this chapter, he's really telling us some really powerful things. Actually, it's chapter 2. Here we go. It says in chapter 2, verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ. To some were the fragrance or the smell of death, and to the other were the fragrance of life. You know, he said, who's equal to such a task? He said, we're smelling like Jesus to the world. You know, like, and I remember one time, I'm going to walk down here. That's an optical illusion, by the way. This dark to light step, I was like, I was trying to step down on it. I was like, wow, that's close. Okay, so, but when I was younger, my wife and I, we've been married for 24 years, and we have a 15-year-old daughter, and I remember we were only married for about a year, and we were traveling through Pennsylvania, where I grew up, and at one of the places I grew up all over the country, but I call Kentucky home. But in Pennsylvania, we stopped at my old elementary school, and as soon as I walked in, it smelled exactly the same, like square pizza, you know? Like, you have pizza and corn. It's awesome. We're here, right? And I just remember walking in and smelling that. And, of course, remembering now as an adult who's more educated, realizing it was rectangular pizza. But anyway, so they called it square pizza. But I just remember as soon as I smelt the smell, I knew where everything was in that elementary school. I remember where my classroom was. I remember where the principal's office was, you know, because I'd been there a lot. They're like, Haas, did you take your medicine? Yes. How much? All of it. You know, so we're going to send you home now. Okay, so that was back then. But I remember that's the moment I realized this deep connection between smell and memory. Y'all ever notice that? You could walk past someone who has on the cologne that your grandpa used to wear when you were a little child, and you go, whoa. You know, he's been gone for a long time, but your memory, boom. You could walk into a church building or your grandma's house. Like when I go to my grandma's house at Thanksgiving, I'd be like, turkey and mothballs. You know, that's she put those things in the closet to keep the bugs away. And I'm like, they stink, you know. But you would smell that. So every time I smell it, I think of my grandma's house. I think about the people that I knew, the people that I miss. You know, when I was a little boy, my dad, he's a preacher, and I have two brothers that are preachers, and I'm a youth minister, right? And so it's like a preaching family. When I was in like second grade, there's a group of people that came to our church in Pennsylvania to go knocking on doors. And some of y'all remember back in the day when everybody did that. And I wanted to go on this little campaign, and they're like, you're in second grade. You can't go. You're too young. And I realized at that very moment that there's like two blocks between my school and my house that I had to walk every day. There was a lot of doors to knock on the way home, and I went on my own campaign. And I went to the doors like, and they'd answer, and the only gospel I knew was, my dad preaches across the street, you should come to church. That's all I had. And they were like, would you like some cake? And I was like, yes. Anyway, and then I go to the next door and be like, and I'd say, my dad preaches across the street, you should go to church there. And they're like, that's nice. Would you like a cookie? Yes. And then I was like, this is really working out for me, you know. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel, you know, because they're going to have to carry all this extra weight, is what I was thinking, and diabetes. But anyway, so, which incidentally, the doctor told me about a year ago that I was borderline diabetes. And I said, well, let's build a wall around it, make McDonald's pay for it. But anyway, so you can have that. Okay, so, but I remember I got to this travel trailer. Sorry, he's still lost on that joke. There you go. Sorry. I was supposed to transition from comedy to tell story. Okay, thank you. So, I found this travel trailer behind this house, and I knocked on the door of this old travel trailer that looked like somebody lived there. And this old man answered the door, and I said my same story. I said, hey, cross the street, my dad preaches, you should go there. And this guy says, you know, I used to go there. And I said, oh, you should go back. He said, I will. I'll be there Sunday. Sunday morning, I saw this old guy walk through, and he really wasn't that old. He wasn't a whole lot older than I am now when I met him. He was in his late 40s, early 50s, and he walks through, because I'm in second grade, everybody's old, right? And he walks in this back door, and he goes forward at the end of the invitation to my dad, and he says, I just repent, and I've been an alcoholic. And my dad said, hey, you were in the Navy, he could just tell. And he said, let's get you to the VA hospital, and you go through a 28-day program, and he did. And he said, my dad, in front of the whole church, says, I'll be there as soon as they let you out. 28 days later, my dad's at the front door. Here comes this older gentleman. They come back and he goes to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. A couple months later, he's given the communion talk. And there's this other lady at church that day who's a widow. And they meet and they get married. And you know who that little lady that was a widow? It was my grandma. So I found my grandpa in a travel trailer on my door knocking campaign in second grade. And my gospel should have been, "You want to be my grandpa?" You know, because that's eventually what happened. You know, he did. He came to church. He met my grandmother. They got married. And his name was Oliver McLean. And I called him Granddaddy Ollie the rest of his life. And he taught me how to play the guitar. He taught me what humor was all about. He taught me Irish drinking songs. Dad did not like that, you know. When his little fourth grader walks in the door going, "Who threw the overalls in Mrs. Murphy's chowder?" You know, he's like, "Where'd you learn that?" "Granddaddy Ollie," you know. He's an Irishman, you know. He's just like, all of a sudden I'm like, "Top of the morning to you, Father." You know, it was awesome. But I tell you that story because, you know, I didn't realize what I was doing at the time, but I was smelling like Christ. I was doing my best imitation of what everybody told me that Jesus was. Now, that didn't really formalize and didn't really understand it really personally until I was in college. It was like this open eye moment where I'm like, wow, I know who Jesus is. And I know what he means and what he stands for. And I know I haven't really been standing for that. But I decided from, you know, I was with this girl I thought I was going to ask to marry me. And we were at Hardee's in Montgomery, Alabama. And we're talking, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, this weekend I'm going to ask her to marry me, and it's going to be awesome. And then she asked me a question about the Bible, and I answered in this real antagonistic kind of way. And she said, "You know what? We're done. There's no love in your relationship with God." And she left me at Hardee's, so I got another milkshake. But I had to walk home that night, and halfway home, I didn't want to restore my relationship with her. I wanted to restore my relationship with God. I knew that where I was, I wasn't smelling like Jesus. It was kind of like Judas, the one that betrayed Christ, where I had a cloak of righteousness, but no relationship with Christ. And I knew I had to change. Never did mend that relationship. That wasn't important to me anymore. I took a few years before I had another relationship at all, any dates, because I was focused on changing and smelling like Christ. You meet people all the time, and you may not know exactly the words to say. Like when I went on door to door, I didn't have the words, right? I didn't know what to say except come to church, and maybe that's all you have. But when you do that, you smell like Jesus, because the only sermon he gave so many people was two words: follow me, right? He walked up to Levi in Luke chapter 5, and he's at this table, and he's a tax collector, and he's collecting taxes. And Jesus just walked right up and said, "Follow me." And he did. The Bible says he left everything, got up and followed him, which is the correct order in the Greek. And then in the English, it says, He got up, left everything, and followed him. But listen, he left everything. Then he got up, and he followed him. It started right here in his heart. He left everything, and he followed him. We just need to keep telling people and keep smelling like Jesus. If someone runs into you and you go, "Hey, why don't you go with me to this area-wide youth event? We're going to have this, going to be this really amazing comedian who is world-renowned." I'm just kidding. Okay. So you say, "There's going to be this speaker," or whatever. And then they say to you, "You go to church?" Something in your life needs to change. Right? They should be able to see it in you. You may not have all the words right, but they need to see Christ's light in you. I've been a youth minister for 21 years, and three weeks ago, I got an email from a principal at the middle school in El Campo, Texas. I serve as youth minister and worship leader at our church, and last spring I spoke at their career day and talked about being the best you can be. Like you yelled out, hey, you do you. You can, you know. And I talked about not comparing yourself to other people and stop this shaming of other people because they don't look like you or what you think everybody should look like. And he said, we have a class called Team Leadership at our middle school where we actually teach what you spoke about. And they called and offered me to be a teacher in town and teach kids this. And so I accepted. Because suddenly I'm given this amazing opportunity to basically be a youth minister in the middle school. Like there's a big abstinence program that we get to do. And I teach things like do unto others as you'd have them do to you. You know, treat others as you wish you were treated kind of thing. That's Bible. We have to do everything we can to live like Christ. Even if we're not saying the words, we need to live the life. There was an old monk that's been quoted, and I don't know. It's been attributed to like two or three different people, and it was said this. He said, always, always, always preach the gospel, and whenever necessary, use words. That's been under scrutiny sometimes. People are like, you got to use words. It's true, but your life speaks. Romans 12 says that your sacrifice for him, like not sinning, doing the right thing, worshiping him, not, you know, your living sacrifice is worship to God. And your living sacrifice tells everyone who Jesus is. So of all the imitations that I work on or that you work on, if you do those, work on your imitation of Christ. In 3 John, there was this guy named Diotrephes, and you don't have to remember that name, but in 3 John, he was like wanting to be the man, right? And John wrote him a letter, and he wouldn't even listen to him. And he wrote the rest of the Christians to say this: stop imitating that behavior. Don't imitate evil. Imitate what is good. And that's my challenge to you guys today, to imitate Jesus and what he did, right? So here it is. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God, and anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. And if there's evil in your life, they aren't seeing Christ. I want to pray over you, and then we're going to turn over for some songs. But my challenge to you during this time of prayer is just on the inside. Think to yourself, is there an area in my life that I have not given over to God? Am I not smelling like Jesus, you know? And here's my challenge also. When somebody does something awesome and you think it's like Christ-like, just walk up to them and go, you smell like Jesus and mothballs. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But just like walk up to people and just tell them you're smelling like Christ. Way to go. And so let's pray and then we'll turn this over. Father God, thank you for the way that you love us. You watch over us and take care of us, Lord. We just thank you for this opportunity that we have to worship you. Lord, we just want to imitate you in all that you do. We want in all that we do, and we want to make you first in our lives. Lord, whatever it takes for the people that are in this room, to give every piece of them to you. Lord, teach us to do so. In Jesus' holy name, amen.